the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Urso Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we're here at the clock stand at the Thoroughbred Center, and my watch is still smoking this morning.
Hey, what did you do?
86 works this morning.
Holy mackerel, that's almost your age.
Pretty near. That's the... Now, you threw me all off with that one. That's not as much as last Saturday. I had 107 last Saturday.
Wow.
And that doesn't count the ones I missed.
You can get all that accurate information in the Daily Racing Form.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't bet your money on those works, I'll tell you that. That's the reason that weaned me from betting a long time ago. Well, what do we got to do today? As soon as I talk to these guys in just a minute, we've got an interview with Marty Takus from Belvedere Farm, and Marty foaled and raised the horse that won the Preakness Stakes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shackelford,
yeah. Boy, he ran a game race, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
A game race.
Yeah, got a great ride, too.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be done after half when I saw those fractions.
And
he just let up on him and let him go. Eased up on him a little bit, and then he had a lot left for the end. That was great.
Oh, boy, a blow-by-blow description right there. Of course, he probably had about 3 Jack Daniels in him by the 8th pole, so
he could have blew it as well as blow-by-blow.
Right, exactly. Yeah, amen. Yeah, well, anyway, he's going to come in. I'm talking to Michael Blowen right now, and Dr. Doug Byers is going to be here. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicap of Sheets is going to give us the winner of the Grade 3 Louisville Handicap. Won 1.5 miles. Didn't know they did that anymore.
It's nice to see.
Huh? I love those races.
Me too.
Yeah. I had to run mine along because it's too slow to go short. the long trip to Beulah Park. let's see. Who else is coming? Oh, I'm going to talk about if I got time. I'm still back in 1957. If I live to be 112, I'll catch up. Bo Ruler, of course, who was a champion 3-year-old that year. Got some Joe Palmer, got Jackie's announcements. Going to talk a little bit about the Arrington Classic. It used to be a really important race, but it's not even graded anymore. But
really, is that right?
Yeah, it's
too
bad.
Too bad.
You know, it started out in 29, I believe, with Blue Larkspur winning. And, see some great horses, great racing up there, you know.
Arlington Park's great.
Yeah. I don't know any of the recent winners, but, you know, if I go back to 29, I remember that one.
Well, I consider Bold Ruler, you know, contemporary now because we used to be back in the 40s.
All righty.
We've at least gotten to the 50s over the past 3 years.
Introduce your friend now. Wait a minute. Give me a pencil.
This is Dr. Waldridge. Dr. Byers can introduce him, but let me say this. Dr. Waldridge has come to Old Friends and really helped us an awful lot. We're doing some research projects for us.
Yeah, that's better. Yes.
Yeah, but then you have to read it.
Well, at least I find his first name, which obviously you're not familiar with. Yeah.
Brian Waldridge. What do you mean?
Oh, okay. Dr. Brian Waldridge, Dr. Delaney Ferry. Oh, you live down in Versailles, Doc.
I live in Georgetown, work in Versailles. Yes.
Okay. You live in Georgetown and work in Versailles?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's usually the other way around. They all drive to going to Toyota over there. And you're with Kentucky Equine Search. What exactly is Kentucky Equine Search research?
We're owned by Dr. Joe Pagan. He's a PhD animal nutritionist, so we do nutritional consulting for several companies. He works for companies all over the world to help formulate horse feeds. We do some research on the farm on exercise physiology and digestion and nutrition there at the farm as well.
You all send out a newsletter, don't you?
Yes, we have 2 newsletters we send out twice a month.
Yeah, I get those.
Well, good. Do you read them?
No.
Oh, well, we'll keep sending them.
Well, I don't have any horses anymore. The only horses I've got, they're going to...
If it says 2011 on it, he doesn't read anything.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. That's the truth of it. But they're old, real old horses, you know. I mean, I think the youngest one is... What's the youngest horse we've got now, Jackie? The rescue from River Downs?
No, I think he's my mare, probably
12. Oh, 12. Yeah, she'll never see 15 again, I'll tell you that.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yes, it is true.
No, it isn't.
And stay tuned next week for the resolution of this debate.
Check her tattoo.
Oh, okay. Well, are you helping out over at Old Friends? Is he dragging or did Doctor drag you in?
Oh no, I'm lucky enough to know both of them. So we've helped do some things at Old Friends and known Doctor Byers for quite a while. So,
You survived. Yeah, yes, that's really good. You got a thick skin.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it just bounces off me anymore. With these two.
well, Dr. Walter has done some great work for us, and he's, you know, they came over, they're weighing our horses, they took blood samples, and, you know, they're really going to have a nice little way to measure their futures.
You weigh them, you say?
They're
going to
weigh
a portable scale?
We did have portable scales, yes, sir.
Portable scale.
Scales.
Yeah. How do you transport that? In a van or what? You have to load them up?
They'll fit in the back of a pickup. It's kind of about the size of about 4 feet by 6 or 8 feet. Mm-hmm. The horses go up on them. It's flat, doesn't have any rails or anything, so the horse can just walk up on it.
Into the back of a pickup?
Well, you can carry it in a pickup, but...
The horse isn't going in the back of the pickup. Oh, my goodness gracious. How...
I wanted to see this.
Oh, my goodness.
Hell, I thought I was missing something after all these years.
Yeah, all that Dr. Waldridge is so good at this, he just turns around to the horse and goes, could you jump on the back of that pickup and get on that scale? And they all jump right up there. It's an unbelievable thing to see.
It gave you a couple of good lines, though, did it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
All righty. You weigh these old horses there, so they're all fat and shiny and dappled out.
They look
out
great.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
It was really good for
I'm
us.
I'm sure that's Dr. Byers doing. That can't be his. You know, look how skinny he is, for God's sakes. Yeah.
I don't get to eat.
You don't get to eat, no. Okay. All righty. Well, what else is going on with you guys?
Well, let's see. We have our memorial for our horses on Memorial Day at 2 o'clock. For the horses that we lost over the past year, and then we'll have some bourbon to drink and some tales to tell. Bill Mooney is going to come over and do the eulogies for the horses.
Oh.
We'll show some of the races. Bucky Sally, we're trying to chase him down. He must have caller ID now because he doesn't answer his phone. He usually comes over and does the last call to post, but he might have bigger fish to fry this Memorial Day. I'm trying to get Bucky, if you're listening, I want to tell you something. I'm coming to your house with a note. So you might as well just answer the phone.
Okay.
So it'd be good to have Bucky there.
He knows you by sight, too.
Yes, he probably does.
Somebody said he just got a big Doberman.
Oh, yeah. Just in time.
All right.
And we just got Afternoon Delights at the farm.
How's he look?
Great.
Okay.
He now looks
he,
absolutely
He came
great.
Up from Louisiana, didn't mm-hmm. he? Sally, of course.
Yep. Governor Jones had him over at Airdrie.
Beginning, yeah.
And he had Patton over at Airdrie, and now they're in adjoining paddocks at Old Friends.
Is that right?
And Afternoon Delights races Gulch every day.
Okay.
Gulch breaks them all in because he's the old man. He knows how to do things. So.
Yeah.
He teaches them about retirement and everything. It doesn't take that long.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good.
And speaking of a gulch, we were over at Lane's End yesterday, and Joyce over at Lane's End won the most amazing table that was designed by John Cox over at Thorough Graphics. It's a huge table, and it's got the winners of the last 30 derbies in their silks going around the outside of the table. And in each corner are the Triple Crown winners from that era. And she won it because she picked the winners of all these prep races coming into the Derby and picked the Derby winner and did all this. So she won the contest, and she called up and she donated the table to Old Friends.
Oh,
it's beautiful! It's absolutely gorgeous. So when you come over for the, it's big. It's a really good size. We're going to get a piece of glass and put it on top of it to protect everything, but it's absolutely gorgeous. It's got the silks, the name of the horse, and the year, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. With a Triple Crown winner on each corner, you
yep.
said? There's been 11 of them, you know.
Well,
how many corners does this thing have?
I said for the last 25 years. So you have Seattle Slough, and you have Secretariat and Affirmed, you know.
25 years?
It's been a little bit longer than that, hadn't it?
Zero.
Yeah, it wouldn't be anything.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting lost here with my ears. All you old people around.
Do the math, Michael.
All that funny stuff he's been
The only taking. Math that I can do is in the racing form.
That's probably about the truth of it. I got to take a break, guys. Got to pay the bills here. May 21 at Pimlico, the Grade 3 William Donald Schaefer Memorial was won by a part, a four-year-old colt by Flatter. The James W. Murphy Stakes at Pimlico went to Chinglish, a three-year-old colt by Warfront, and the Pike Creek Stakes at Delaware was won by Snowfall, a three-year-old filly by Warfront. 2 days earlier, Belmont's Three Corns Up Stakes was won by Hymnbook by Arch, Apart, bred by Adele Dill Snyder, is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $640,000, and his win follows closely the victory of Tar Heel Mom by Flatter in the Nanny Stakes at Belmont. Tar Heel Mom, bred by Ups and Downs Farm, is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $613,000. Chinglish, bred by John J. Greeley IV and Phil Houchins, and Snowfall, bred by Stonerside Stables, are among the nine first crop stakes winners by Warfront, the leading sire of first crop stakes winners. Him Book was bred by Stuart S. Janney III and is one of 30 stakes winners by Arch, sire of four champions, including, of course, the 2010 Eclipse Award winner, Blame. Flatter, Warfront, and Arch stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Vance has been in business for more than 60 years. During that time, many of the greatest runners ever step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Vance Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
The two stands now standing at Pin Oak Stud with foals to race a full season are Broken Vow and Sky Classic. Both are proven sires of Grade 1 stakes winners. Maria's Mon also stood at Pin Oak Stud, and numbered among his many stakes winners are two Kentucky Derby winners. This bodes well for the future of the two young stallions at Pin Oak Stud, Bob and John, Cowboy Cal. And the first foals by Bob and John are two-year-olds this year. He's got the numbers in his favor. Bob and John, one of more than 90 stakes winners by Seeking the Goal, won Grade 1 stakes. In fact, he was a graded stakes performer every year he raced for earnings of nearly $1 million. His dam won graded stakes and is by champion sire Deputy Minister, and this is the family of a host of stakes winners, including champion sire Broad Brush. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million by champion sire Giants Causeway, who was recently represented by his 100th stakes winner. He, too, descends from a fantastic female family, and his first foals are outstanding. So look for Bob and John and Cowboy Cal to follow the success of Broken Vow and Sky Classic and Maria's Mon at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries to my friend Clifford Berry, and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I'm giving the public a break from my perennial visitations here and get Dr. Waldridge to do the work.
All righty.
So, Brian is an internist as well, and so we go back quite a ways, knowing each other for quite some time. He taught at Auburn University, came up here and worked Rood and Riddle, and then recently joined Kentucky Equine Research, where they're doing most of the nutritional things. So I might just pop a couple of questions here, and I'd ask Brian, how do you recuperate, or how do you feed a starvation horse?
Well, yeah, I think the big thing is to be gradual in the refeeding of the horse, because you know, people want to see these starved horses, and they really want to start putting them on full feed. And so for about the first week, you really need to feed that horse about half of what it would need at the weight it is. So essentially, you have to restrict what you feed them pretty strongly the first week to 10 days, because you want to allow their gut to just have time to adapt to having feed in it. And you also want their enzymes to come back. And if the horse is starved, the bacteria that lives in their gut as well is starved or reduced. Mm-hmm. So you need those, everything to have time to just to readapt to feeding. And once you get that horse through the first 7 to 10 days, then you feed them about half of what you'd normally feed them for about another 2 weeks. Then you can pretty well start to feed that horse normally.
What about grass? If you got a starving one, would you stick it right out in a field or let them eat or what?
Grass? I would let them eat. You want to do it for about an hour for the first, say, 3 or 4 days, and then go up an hour every 3 or 4 days again. Let them get used to it, especially grass like we have now.
Yeah.
Has quite a bit of sugar in it compared to what we'd have in the summer. So just over
time. You wouldn't do the same in, say, in August or something like that. It'd be a whole lot different.
A little bit different. Pastures, right, depending. You know, you might be able to do a couple hours at the start when pastures are a little more poor.
Yeah, right. starvation horses. We've had a couple at our place. I imagine you've got a couple in too, haven't you, Michael? And yeah. A lot of them around, unfortunately, yeah.
Get more of them all the time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doc. You know more about this than I do. You know what to ask.
Well, you know, I think the starvation thing is a timely topic because we are seeing more of it all the time. And it, unfortunately, we've made it to the grass season, so we should see less of it, but we don't because a lot of it is overcrowding, overgrazing. There is no management. They're just out there.
Yeah.
And we recognize, as Dr. Tom Lynn from the AAP has pointed out, that to treat starving horses, you've got to figure out what's wrong with these people that gather them up. And so the hoarders and the psychological problems that people may have is where we run across a lot of these problems. We can have a good time of year, and you still see something on the news about horses starving, even when the grass is good.
You know, we got a mare one time from a fella who was a real nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
She was skin and bones. I mean, she was terrible. She had turned her out on the side of a rocky old hill with two mean ponies, and mm-hmm. she didn't get to eat. And he fed them every day, but he did not see that the ponies ate, and she didn't. And, you know, he didn't see. He kind of had an idea that she wasn't looking really good. But that was a nice guy. He does. People don't see it if they don't.
I think the majority of people are nice people. I mean,
yeah.
their intentions are always favorable.
Yeah, this was
favorable,
a nice
but
guy. But he said, well, she doesn't look real. I mean, she was, the skin was hanging on her. Mm-hmm. And she had hideous skin disease.
Yeah. Worst thing about it was her feet.
Yeah, that was awful too.
God, they were terrible. You know.
Well, you mentioned the skin disease. I mean, we know that the immune system. You take rain scald. Why does one horse have rain scald out in the field and the others don't? Because the organism, Dermatophilus, takes advantage of those that are behind the eight ball or not mm-hmm. as healthy as they should be. So, the one at the bottom of the peck order has the rain scald. Now, if you see a whole bunch of rain scald, you've got a nutritional problem probably out in the whole farm. I'm going to pick on Brian again here. The grass is out here. I mean, Kentucky compared to Alabama. What about toxic plants? A lot of these, I said they lack management. Do we have much toxic plant to worry about it in this area?
Well, yeah, we're pretty lucky in Kentucky. Probably our biggest toxic plant, which we kind of don't think about now, is just fescue. You know, the fescue that has the endophyte, the fungus that causes problems with mares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and back to starvation, too. That's when we tend to see toxic plant problems. More so these horses, you know, those plants don't taste as well, and they kind of have the innate knowledge to avoid those plants. And once the pastures get poor and the horse doesn't have anything else to eat, that's when you really see those horses going after the toxic plants.
Yeah, they'll eat anything that's there, basically.
Eat anything. And then their liver, like Dr. Byers was saying, they're compromised, so their liver enzymes don't work as well, so they're even more susceptible to those toxic plants. But, yeah, in Kentucky, you know, I think probably the endophyte-infected tall fescue is probably our biggest worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down south, we'd see Crotalaria, which is a plant that causes liver damage. And the more the horse eats of that, the damage builds up over time. Every time they get exposed, it adds on to the damage they had before. And that was the only plant I'd really ever tell clients to pull up out of their pastures. You know, I'd worry about that more. I mean, you see them, you know, even pokeweed is potentially toxic to horses and can cause some GI disease, you know, but it's all over our pastures usually.
Yeah, no. Well, they usually leave that alone. Do you have something else, Jackie?
Yeah, when we used to fox hunt, along the roads, along the roads, there are tall plants that come up that look like corn, looks like wild corn. And I was told that stuff's really poisonous. It's around here. It looks all the world like corn leaves.
Well, it's probably sorghum, you know.
I don't know, but people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not much else to eat, you know, horses out trail riding, a lot of people let them just snack as they go. But I was told that was real.
Well, Sudan grass or the sorghums are things. They're not, of course, corn is a sorghum. So they can be toxic and they're fairly weather sensitive.
So if you take these, Brian, do you practice anymore, or just with the Kentucky Equine Research?
Mostly just work with Kentucky Equine Research now. Lucky enough to still see some horses here and there for folks.
Okay, and all you do is tell me exactly what you do now.
Well, we have an active research program on the farm, so we have a full-size treadmill, so we do exercise physiology research with horses there, and we do some other, like right now we're doing some research with gastric ulcers in horses. We have about 30 head of horses on the farm as well. So
where's the farm?
We're out on Delaney Ferry, which is off of Troy Pike out in Versailles.
Woodford County.
Woodford County, yes. Sir.
Yeah, okay. How long have you been with them?
Been there just a little over a year.
How long have they been there?
Dr. Pagan's been there for, I think, about 30 years in all, working, doing what he does.
God, you think I know him after 30 years. Yeah. Well, I send him by, you know.
Yeah. Well, he'd be happy to be on the show, I'm sure.
All right. And I know you do send, I was teasing you, I do, I do look through those things, but those newsletters that come in, but I guess you send them to the farm managers. People, right?
Right, and anybody can sign up for those, if I can put in a plug for our newsletters.
Oh, sure. What's your website?
It's www.ker.com. Okay. Or you can also go to equinews.com. And on the Equinews site, there's lots of articles on it, all sorts of health care, nutrition, and a lot of general articles, too. So people can come just search that and sign up for the newsletters on that as well.
Well, what kind of products are you selling?
Well, a lot of our business is helping feed companies to formulate feeds and advise them, and also if they run into problems or their clients have problems, they can call us, and we can answer, do a technical services type things and help them figure out problems and help them with their horses. And we make some supplements as well, some nutrition supplements, also some supplements for ulcers, and we have some fatty acid supplements which help for skin disease. Yeah. And
what are your outlets around here? The tax stores, feed stores?
A lot of the local feed stores carry us. We have team members that use our feed as well. A Woodford Feed, Baghdad Feed Mill carries us, Brumfields, and I'm leaving one out, but I'll think of that eventually.
Yeah, you don't want to lose a client. Yeah. I'm real careful
in Hallway. So our local dealers are Baghdad Roller Mills, Brumfield Hay and Grain, Hallway Feeds, and Woodford Feed.
Okay,
so they will have it, and also you can order those on the online as well.
Yeah, well, Woodford Feed is the one in Woodford County.
There's yes, sir. Right,
it's Woodford Spears in Paris. So I'm just making sure we had that right. Yeah. Okay, since you. Seems you're getting a free commercial here.
Yes, sir. We appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. All right. Oops. Getting close to another break time.
Well.
Hang on a second, and I shall be back. Well, Jackie, I'm going to get you to help me with Carl. He's still hanging in there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Mizzen Mass received his best book of mares to date back in 2008, 150 quality mares to be exact. He's represented by a great crop of two-year-olds this year. Now think about this. Mizzen Mass is a proven group sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, and he sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop. What's more, 9 of those 24 winners won are placed in stakes at 2. Year after year, Mizzen Mass has sent top-class stakes horses to the races. 13 last year, 8 of them stakes winners. They win sprinting, they win going long, they win on dirt, they win on artificial, and they win on grass. That's why the 4 Mizzen Mass yearlings sold at the recent OBS sale average $127,250. Mizzen Mass is a proven sire Grade 1 stakes winner, stands at Judmont Farm for $12,500 live foal. Also at Judmont is the young Grade 1 sire First Defense by Unbridled Song. First Defense sprinted 7 furlongs in 120 and 4, in 121 and 1, and in 121 and 2, and 6 furlongs in 9 and 2. So he had brilliant speed to go with that classic pedigree. His first foals are yearlings. He stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. I'm going to talk about the guy that built Dr. Byer's house. And that would be Carl Lumley. I haven't seen it since he's finished it, Doc. And every time I ask you if you're living in it, you say, no, Susan's hadn't unpacked yet.
Well, we're still trying to get settled, and I have to adjust to all these new rules. You know, like, take your shoes off. So those things are all there. I thought of probably a great compliment for Carl was Barry Simon comes by the farm, Dr. Barry Simon,
yeah,
with his kids frequently, not as much frequently as he used to, but Barry drove out there several times and always said, you know, I've never seen a construction site that's cleaned up with, you know, where cleaned up. And he would have his crew every day
yeah.
clean up that site and keep it tidy. And he feels like, you know, it's easier for his crew to work as well as not having that mess to work around.
Yeah.
So he's just part of his program.
Well, it's a beautiful home.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, and when they did the inspection, all they had to do was put up an extra rail on the steps for you.
Yeah, that's where my head would be tucked in between the rail and the wall.
Yeah. And halfway up there's a landing, and it goes into an attic, you know,
yeah.
and that's he says that's where Susan sends you when you're a bad boy.
Yeah, well, I haven't been out of there.
But it is a gorgeous place, and Carl does a great job. Let me give you his phone number. It's 859 number. It's 333-7914. He lives over on Hume Bedford. That's pretty close to me, you know. And he's done some business in addition to with Dr. Byers, with Brookdale Farm, the Seitz family, Denali Stud, and one of my neighbors, Sarah Hamilton, down there. But he'll build you anything. It doesn't have to be just a house, a barn, run-in shed. I'll try and spit it out in a minute. Outhouse, whatever you want. and of course, he'll do repairs and additions.
Yep.
And he got great references, and his bids, he stands by his bids. He tells you what it's going to cost, and that's what it's going to cost.
Yeah, and I think an outhouse probably would be a run-in shed, don't you?
Well, at least try.
Yeah, right.
All right, that's and Carl Lumley, and K-A-R-L-L-U-M-L-E-Y. And if you can't get in touch with him on his phone number, I'm fussing at him about not putting up a website, but he says he's not into modern times yet. Either that or he's too damn busy pulling up.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was out there and they dug the water line for the house. And of course, my farm is an old farm. And where the walls of this ditch were, there were bottles sticking out. And
is that right?
So he gathered up all these bottles. Not all of them, but I mean, it was like an archaeological dig.
Wasn't anything in them, was
it? No, they were old beer bottles. But so then he gets his Google on the on his iPhone, and he takes a picture of the trademark on the bottom of the most frequent bottles,
uh-huh.
and he said, "This bottle is manufactured in Glasgow, Scotland. It's a beer bottle."
Oh,
Glasgow, Scotland, from 1822 to 1916. So here you go, modern, warp speed, in a half hour you've done what people would research for forever. But anyway, so he's got some technology that he uses.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's just because it was a beer bottle.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, well, Unbridled Energy's first crop raced to two last year. He's a sire of two first crop stakes winners and a third that's stakes place. And they're winning at the major tracks. They've won at Churchill, Fairgrounds, Woodbine, a couple of them at Calder, two at Golden Gate, Tampa Bay, Law, two more at Hawthorne, Turfway, Indiana Downs, Oak Tree, Law, Parex. Wherever they're asked to run, it's not surprising. Unbridled Energy was a runner himself. Won his only start at two, won the Grade 3 Marine Stakes, won a top allowance race at Gulfstream, finished second in the Grade 3 Northern Dancer Breeders' Cup Stakes. That's at Churchill. Did all that as a three-year-old. Then he won the Grade 2 San Fernando Breeders' Cup Stakes at four. Unbridled Energy excelled around two turns in his progeny, showing that same desire for a distance of ground. Unbridled Energy is by Unbridled Song, out of a stakes-winning mare from a top stakes family, and he stands for $6,000, payable when the foal stands in nurses. At Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Inquire to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Yeah, I've got two veterinarians over here. They haven't sent me a bill yet. Jesus. What's going on?
We can lose our licenses.
David showed up on time.
Right.
It is possible.
Yeah, it's just possible.
We get reported to the state, they'll jerk our licenses in a heartbeat.
Well, it's spent half my life waiting on veterinarians, van drivers, and blacksmiths. But we got our blacksmiths are pretty proper. You know, they're pretty. We've got them trained now. And of course, if we did business with Sally Vans, and they're never late.
Yeah.
They hauled Shackleford.
Oh yeah, they hauled Shackleford. You know, they've hauled all the Triple Crown winners, I guess, around here, and Dirt Classic winners and everything. It's a great outfit. They even mess around with Michael over there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to have the money that they've spent on you, Michael. Oh, he's just wincing over there. You would too, right?
Oh, yeah, the horse arrived in good condition. I've got to be friends with all the van drivers now, and they're really nice guys.
Oh, well, they're great van drivers too. Most of them are horsemen too. They got to be over there. Yeah. All right. Well,
okay.
I'm going to let you guys go. Yeah. Anything else you all want to talk about, or
no,
anything you got to say?
I was going to ask Brian about running your cattle with your horses. And
yeah,
is there
go ahead.
Anything that the cattle get fed that the horse shouldn't get?
Well, the big worry would be the ionophores, the ionophore antibiotics, which are growth promotant in cattle, but they're highly fatal to a horse.
Okay, that's in their feed?
It can be. I mean, you usually have to have that added special. So if you are running cattle with horses, you want to make sure there's not any. Usually they end in an SIN, like Monensin and Lasalacid, some of those. So you always want to make sure if you buy a feed or if you change feed, look at that label and make sure that's not on there.
Okay.
Right. Poultry feeds are the same way. They put Monensin in for chicken, but horses just super sensitive to it, and they'll look like they might have herpes virus. They're staggering around a bit, but their hearts are failing and ruins their heart muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have you heard any more about the herpes? I hate to change the subject.
No. In fact, Brian can chime in on that. It's continuing to spottily move about the country. When I say spottily, you know, 5-6 horses and maybe a quarantine of a 20-stall barn somewhere. And I think last week we said there are 10 states that have been listed. I think that 10 states is probably about the same. Kentucky is not one of those states. Would emphasize that it's a stress-related thing. So these horses that transport go to a show somewhere might make the subtype of the herpes type 1 virus emerge, and that is a direct contact, highly contagious, but not that bad to control if you've got control measures in place. So, and the other thing is there a lot of people are saying please vaccinate your horses for herpes, but it does not protect against that form
mm-hmm.
of the disease. So,
did you hear about the rodeo girls out in California? I think it was California. It's on the internet. They wouldn't let them bring their ponies or their horses to the rodeo, so help me God, they rode stick horses in the little contest for rodeo queen. It's on the internet. It's so funny.
I can afford to feed those.
Okay.
All right, guys.
We're out of here.
Yeah, Brian, nice meeting
you. Thank you.
Dr.
Thanks
Brian
for
Wilder.
On the show.
Yeah,
really appreciate getting to see you.
Come back and see us.
Oh, anytime. Thank you very much.
Bring your own beer and a folding chair.
We'll see you Monday.
Pardon?
Yeah, we'll see you Monday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. You got anything more to say, Michael?
No, I'd just like to invite people to come to the memorial service at 2 o'clock on Monday at Old Friends, or just come over the weekend for a tour. They can meet Afternoon Delights and all the horses. It's a beautiful day to be out there. And if they want to call Barbara or Beth today, the number is 502-863-1775. And just make a reservation. Do tours at 10, 1, and 3. And the horses have never looked better. This is a great time to come out because it's, you know, we haven't put the fly mask on yet, and they all look great, and this is the best time to come see them.
It's remarkable the lack of face flies so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why. I guess it's the dampness. The only thing I can think.
You know? Yeah.
Because earlier in the spring we had some. because we put some fly masks on. But, you know, this was like the first April or something, you know. We put them on. We had a little warm snap we had before the roof fell in, you know, and got cold again.
Yeah.
And the rain started. But there's not many face flies now. I don't know. But count your blessings.
I know, exactly, because the horses really, really do look great. So come see them.
All righty.
Thank you, Ursel.
Chase Jackie in here. She's out there blabbing. She's got to do her announcements. And, No, I haven't done this. I can do this while I'm waiting on her to shut up. Let's see. Winners out of the Thoroughbred Center. And we have had 8 winners in the last 7 days now out of here. And they were trained by Brenda Hill, Jesse Caudle, Chuck Hamilton, Adolfo Marcias had 2, Akiko Gothard, Maria Pinzon, and Wayne Mogi. Wayne is over here now.
We've known Wayne for, well, I knew his mother, since high school, for crying out loud.
You knew him when he was just a bulge.
Well, I lost track of his mother from high school till anyway.
Well, we knew him when he was young anyway.
Yeah, he was.
He trains a few quarter horses, and he won a quarter horse race last night at Indiana Downs.
Nice family.
Yes, they are. They are.
Good folks.
All right, Jackie, you want to do your announcements?
All right. I'll tell you a few things at the horse park. There's a professional horseman's course, I suppose, for the fall. And you can apply if you want to go attend that thing. Just call the horse park, find that one out. Right now, through the end of the year, they're running that saddlebred exhibit in the American Saddlebred Museum, which is so much fun. It's stuff from the silver screen, cinema, and history of course. Who was it? Flicka and National Velvet was a... You know, when you start looking for saddlebreds in those old movies, you find them. The tails are always stuck up in the air. They're always going sideways, no matter what kind of saddle. Anyway, this weekend is Barbara's Vision, the equine image of Robert Vosra, 60-year perspective, retrospective, of course, in International Museum of the Horse. This weekend is the Kentucky Dressage Association spring warm-up show. Also, the May Days horse trials and the Kentucky Invitational High School Rodeo. That raises money for college scholarships. Also this weekend, the Kentucky Dressage Association's freestyle dressage. It's free admission. If you want to eat, you can pay $15 and you can eat. From May 31st, that's Monday, starting the Mare and Foal Show featuring the horse park's babies. Also, June the 1st. Now, when's June the 1st? That's this Wednesday. Cross Country Schooling Day, there it is. You can ride on the cross country course. It's a fundraiser for the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation. And we give you a phone number, 255-5727. Next weekend, June 3rd through the 5th, is the carriage roundup. So you go out there and watch people driving through the park. I got to tell you, a friend of mine was on Facebook the other day. There's a guy that rides and competes and drives 4-in-hands. They're small looking, maybe ponies. And he's legally blind. He's a great driver. I guess he's very sensitive through his hands. And she sits in the back, Maggie Garrison. You can see her head sticking out from behind this guy that's blind who's driving. She says, she'll turn right and then turn left. No, the other left.
left?
Yeah. That's what you say when people... You tell them, say, turn left, they'd go right. You say, turn the other left. Anyway, that's coming up at the horse park also.
Well, Mooston Farr won graded stakes at Keenan and at Belmont Park. Also placed in 2 graded stakes at Saratoga and in graded stakes at Tampa Bay and Gulfstream Park. In fact, he was beaten less than a length in grade 1 stakes at Gulfstream. Also placed in graded stakes at Arlington Park, Woodbine, and another one at Keenan. Broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Aqueduct. And won a pair of top allowance races at Gulfstream. In short, he competed with distinction in major races wherever he was asked to run and always gave his best on the way to earnings of over $625,000. He's a superior runner with a great pedigree. He's by champion sire and bridle from a family of classic winners and champion sires like Najwan, Nayef, Umfuane, Height of Fashion, dozens more. And best of all, he stands for a reasonable stud fee, $3,000 live full. Mouston Farm meets all the requirements to become a successful sire. He stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. And take a look at the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Oh, Ralph Quillen. Quillen Leather and Tack in downtown Paris. He's all over Facebook. They have, whenever they have something for Paris, he goes to it. They had, anyway, he eats a lot too. He always puts up what Paris restaurant he went to. Barden's, he takes a picture of everybody in there and slams it up on Facebook. I mean, listen, fellas, if you left your wife at home and took your girlfriend, don't go there because old Ralph's going to take your picture. Also, he's having a special on all shipping, $4.99.
Oh, good.
So that's a good one. And these belts, they are, daggone it, they got a crease. Creased leather belts, that's what they're called. If you buy a creased leather belt, which is the most popular belts, they have the, what do you call it, nameplate on it. And if you buy one of those, you get a free keychain with a nameplate on it. Same name, I guess. So that's a good buy. Also, they've got Twitches still, and of course they've got a great gift shop, and there's so much. It's a nice place to go. It's a lot of fun. Don't forget they've got figure eight full halters and regular full halters, turnouts and everything. Now Quillen's, and you go to Paris, you go straight in. Don't take the bypass. It's the third light. Look to your left, and you'll see it. Or you can go to Quillen, Quillin.com. And check it out. It's a great tech store.
Well, they just keep coming. Last Saturday at Belmont Park, the Three Coins Upstakes was won by Boisterous, a four-year-old colt by Distorted Humor. And at Monmouth Park, the special, the Spenderbuck Stakes, went to Rush On, a three-year-old colt he's by Tis Now. The Three Coins Upstakes was just the second start of the year for Boisterous. Bred by Cynthia 50, broke his maiden at Saratoga last August and came right back. Two scored Belmont Park. Distorted Humor started five stakes winners at Belmont in 10 days. This year, now, that's just recently. Five stakes winners at Belmont in 10 days. Headed by Alternation Score and the Grade 2 Peter Pan. He's the nation's leading sire of 2011 stakes winners with 10. Rush Now went into the Spenderbuck after stakes placings at Laurel and Parx, and he won the Dover Stakes at Delaware last year as a two. He was bred by Chris and Kurt Cahill and sold as a winning at Keeneland for $280,000. And he's the fifth 2011 stakes winner by Tisnow. Distorted Human Tisnow stand at Windstar Farm. Also at Windstar are the multiple graded stakes winner Sharp Humor by Distorted Humor and the grade one stakes winner Colonel John by Tisnow. Sharp Humor was the leading freshman sire of stakes horses last year with 11 and the number one ranked Kentucky-based sire of two-year-olds winners with 25. Colonel John won two of the nation's most coveted Grade 1 stakes, the Travers, the Santa Anita Derby, and he earned over $1,779,000. Inquiries to Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right.
All right, well, Bruner's Kentucky Birds that won stakes last weekend. This is a compliment to the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, my good friend David Schweitzer. The Grade 1 Preakness Stakes, of course, went to Shackleford, bred by Michael Loughner and William Cubbage. And incidentally, he was raised over at Belvedere Farm at Sir Marty Takus. And Marty's going to be on the air with me here in about 15 to 20 minutes whenever he arrives. The Grade 2 Black-Eyed Susan, Royal Delta won that. Paladese Investments, the breeder. The Grade 2 Dixie and Dixie Stakes went to Patio Prada, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The Shuvie Handicap at Belmont, Awesome Maria, bred by E. Paul Robsham. He's a Maria's mom. The Hanshin Cup Stakes at Arlington, a working for hops,
won it. Amy Bondon and Tom McNally bred that one. The Grade 3 Allaire DuPont Distaff Stakes at Pimlico Super Espresso, bred by Liberation Farm and Stonewall Farm. The Grade 3 William Donald Schaefer Memorial at Pimlico, a part won that. He's by Flatter and was bred by Adele Dillschneider. And the Grade 3 Maryland Sprint Pimlico at Pimlico went to Ventana, bred by Joe Mulholland, Joe Mulholland Jr., John and Karen Mulholland. And let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Kentucky breds to win graded stakes last weekend, of course, including the big one, the Preakness. In other stakes, the Tom Ridge at Presque Isle, Getaway Guy won that. He's by Yankee Gentleman. Bred by Clarkland Farm, that's Fred and Nancy Mitchell. The Chick Lang Stakes at Pimlico, Vengeful Wildcat, bred by New Farms. The James W. Murphy Stakes at Pimlico, Chinglish, bred by he's by Warfront, bred by John J. Greeley IV and Phil Houchins. The Elkwood Stakes at Monmouth Park went to Successful Mission, Oakbrook Farm. The Spend a Buck at Monmouth, Rush Now, he's a Tiz Now, bred by Chris and Kurt Cahill. Ohio Valley Stakes at Mountaineer went to Hot Hot Mama, bred by Stone Farm. And Speed Limited Partnership, the A-Gift Stakes at Belmont, Fastest Magician, bred by Charles Fipke. Phew, the Coins Up Stakes at Belmont, Borchers, he's by Distorted Humor, bred by Cynthia Phipps. The Classy Mirage Stakes at Belmont, Savvy Supreme, another Distorted Humor. Brereton C. Jones and Racehorse Management bred that one. The Three Up Stakes at Belmont, Him Book, he's by Arch. The Stewardess Janney bred him. The Pike Cut Stakes at Delaware, Snowfall, another Warfront, this one bred by Stonerside Stables. The Very One Stakes at Pimlico went to Sazona, by the names Jimmy, who is in over at Old Friends, incidentally, Larry and Sharon Cunningham, the breeders. The Hilltop Stakes at Pimlico, Excited won that. He's by Giants Causeway, bred by Chelston. And finally, getting to the last one, the Sunray Park, at Sunray Park, Sunray Park and Casino Handicap. Forest Mouse bred that, bred by E.H. Bowl Lane III of Bourbon County. That's 22 stakes winners, 8 of them graded.
Thanks to the Kentucky
Thoroughbred Association.
Exactly. Okay. Me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Joyce Brinsfield's having something June 20th, Monday. It's a Monday, June 20th at 8:30 a.m. It's called the Bally High Equitation Boot Camp. You want to straighten your silly kids out, there's where you go. Send them to boot camp.
I've been to boot camp, but it wasn't there.
Yeah, but anyway, go to Bally High's webpage or go to Facebook. Joyce is all over Facebook and Bally High. Sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, there is this series of horse shows all through the summer, where kids can go, or adults or whatever, and you gather points. And in the fall, they have a real nice banquet, and they award the point winners. And it's fun. Last week, it was Shuffle Ridge out at Norrie Shuffles. This week, it's the Punchtown Stable Hunter Jumper Show. Now, they, let's see, June 4th and 5th. That's not this today. It's next week. Yeah, of course, next week. June 4th and 5th. Hunter is Saturday. Jumpers are Sundays. Punchtown, I had to get on the internet and find it. It's not way out. It's out Tate's Creek. Road called, let's see, it's not Delmar. It must be Belmar. Out Tate's Creek, somewhere on the left. But anyway, if you got a Punchtown stable on the internet, you can bring it up. But that's a nice show right here in Lexington.
Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
Oh, okay. I wanted to say a word about the Tulip Bistro and Bar for you all that remember what a great restaurant the Black Tulip was in Midway. Well, it's just as good, and it's the same crew. It's the Tulip Bistro and Bar. It's now in Lexington. It's on Romney Road in Chevy Chase, 355 Romney Road, by the way. Same great food. Just absolutely delicious. All kind of wonderful things to eat. How do you describe it? It's sort of American and it's sort of French, and there's a lot of emphasis on fish. They've got Chesapeake Bay oysters on the half shell, oysters Rockefeller, or fried oysters. They can make you a plate with three different kinds of seafood. They've got mussels, too. And it's Spencer Brandon Tool is the executive chef, and the kids there that work there are so nice. It's a great place to eat. And they've got a place you can eat outside. They've got covered tables and chairs, you know. It's a lot of fun. So give them a call. French American Cuisine, it's the Tulip Bistro and Bar. It's 367-6687. Let me say it again. 367-6687. Go to the tulipbistroandbar.com. Try it out. It's wonderful food.
Well, grade one steaks were in the line of David, standing his first season of stud this year for 7,500 doing the full stands and nurses. And the line of David's by Lionheart. He's done remarkably well at stud. He's the sire of 36 stakes horses, 19 stakes winners in his first three crops. He was the sire of 7 2010 stakes winners, including two grade one stakes winners, Line of David and Dangerous Midge, winner of the grade one Breeders' Cup Turf. Line of David's grade one win came in the Arkansas Derby. He led from wire to wire that day, defeating a field which included such grade one stakes winners as Super Saver, Dublin, and Noble's Promise. The Arkansas Derby was his third consecutive front-running victory. Line of David's dam is a daughter of the outstanding sire Capote. He sired 63 stakes winners, and he's by Seattle Slough. And she's out of a daughter of Raisinated from the family of the great sire, Mr. Prospector. A grand individual, your inspection's invited. Line of David stands at Spendthrift Farm. Give Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee a call. Number over there is 294-0030. Ask about the special breeding incentives and check the website at Spendthrift Farm. .com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call
859-223-4444. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. That's my good friend, Dr. Bill Bernard over there, along with Dr. Wes Sutter and Dr. Lori Biddle. Lori is a anesthesiologist. Dr. Bernard is the outpatient medicine, his that division, the outpatient medicine division. And Wes Sutter is the board-certified surgeon and a very good one. Also, it's when I say outpatient access, you call in and you make your appointment and then tell them what you want done. You set up an appointment, bring them in. They take care of you right there and then send you home. It's a very convenient service, and it's great service. And once again, that's Dr. Wes Sutter and Dr. Bill Bernard and Dr. Lori Bidwell over there. And you can go to their website to learn more about it at LexingtonEquine.com. LexingtonEquine.com. Its number is 9670770. And it's located right at the corner of Ironworks and Georgetown Pike. You can't miss it, right next to Wycliffe Pharmacy there.
Yeah, I was going to say, right next to Jackie Bernard's Wycliffe Pharmacy. Well, it's a equine pharmacy. And what's real interesting about this pharmacy is it's a compounding pharmacy. Now, what is a compounding pharmacy? Well, most medicines and pharmaceuticals are delivered. You either get a pill of a certain size or a tube of a certain size or whatever, and one size doesn't always fit all. So if you have a horse, and the vet wants to have something specifically put together, maybe a pill, maybe a liquid, maybe a paste in a tube and all this and that kind of stuff, Wycliffe Pharmacy will mix it up exactly the way the vet wants it. They don't have to open things and try to cut things in half and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's a brilliant idea. That's a compounding pharmacy, and they do it beautifully. And they also color code their labels. I think that's kind of nice. So anyway, it's a real smart idea. Good old Jackie. She just came up with that, and that's, you know, I'm real proud to know
her. I remember she used to train out here.
Well, the phone number over here is 389-7470.
All righty. Okay, I've got Marty Takus with me here this morning, and we just got a minute here. I'm going to have to interrupt you right in the middle, but first thing I got to ask you, of course, you raised the Preakness winner, and did you go to the race?
Yes, sir. Oh, I was right there. You didn't see me swinging my arms? And
well,
I had a big time.
You kind of stand out in a... How tall are you anyway? You stand out
6'3".
6'3"? Yeah. You look bigger than that.
Okay. Well, I feel big right now.
Do you? I bet you do.
Have they distributed the purse yet? Maybe it's for a touch.
That's great.
Didn't come down that far.
Has you ever been to a Preakness before?
No, first time I'd ever been to Pimlico.
Yeah, I never have been to Pimlico.
Well, people tell you about what it's going to be like and this and that, but it was wonderful. I mean, the people over there took care of the owners and their guests.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I can believe that.
I mean,
they
had a large tent in the infield. Food and drink was there. You could had your own little bedding place right there. You could go make your best. Just absolutely wonderful. Music, something going on all the time.
This was in the infield, you said?
Yeah.
The owners and trainers and everything?
Uh-huh.
How about that? Could you see the racing all the way down?
When we went to the race, they brought us across the course.
Okay.
And then they had one little area there for the owners. And you walked into that area, and they had a sign with the horse's name on it, and your seats were right there.
Oh, nice.
It was really, really. I mean, the people were lovely, lovely, very lovely.
How many of you went up?
Total, there were 18 of us.
18? Lord of mercy.
Well, Paints was a small town, so it didn't take much to make 18.
Nobody left in Paintsville. That's wonderful. What a day for Paintsville.
Oh, it was a great day. It was absolutely great.
They're going to have a Shackleford day up there.
Well, now I heard they're going to have at Belmont Day, they're going to have a big Belmont party up at the country club down there.
Up
in the hollow there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Up in the hollow.
I love it. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Good for you.
These Marty's from Paintsville. And Jackie, in her former life before she met Ursel.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends from Paintsville.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
went to college together.
She's gone downhill since then.
Well, you do the best you can.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
I went down there once to, they had some kind of a festival down there. They've got a little state
apple
park.
Day. Apple Day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Apple.
Mm-hmm. I never ate so many apple turnovers in my life. And they've got that little golf course over there that you have to hit from over hollers and
across the Big Sandy River.
I played about 3 holes and lost 6 balls.
Yeah, exactly.
So I quit.
Yeah.
That's southeastern mountain golf. You hit from the clear off the top of one mountain and you hit to the top of the other.
And you look for copperheads in between.
And rattlesnakes.
You
know,
someplace if you just hit them over there, you don't bother go. let them go.
Well, I'm going to talk to you in a minute about what got you out of Paintsville. Ain't nobody I know what got Jackie out of Paintsville, but anyway. All righty, take a little break here. Let me see. Kodiak Cowboy won a Sylvan Award as a 2-year-old and an Eclipse Award as a 4-year-old. And he had a very good year as a sophomore, too, winning a pair of graded stakes in New York and placing in grade 1 stakes. In 3 seasons of competition, he won 9 stakes, 7 graded, including the grade 1 Vosburgh, the grade 1 Carter, and the grade 1 Cigar Mile. He earned over $1,663,000. Now his first foals are on the ground, and they are superb. So don't take our word for that. Just ask the man who owns one. Or better yet, go out to Vinery and let him show you around. And while there, ask about the Vinery Racing Partnership. Go have some fun with them. And look over the Vinery Stallions for the care of the thoroughbred. And the Vinery Facilities for the care of the thoroughbred and the Vinery Stallions. They got last year's leading 2-year-old sire, last year's leading freshman sire there. And from foaling to sales to breaking and training to rehab, Vinery staff is dedicated to doing it right the first time. Just call John Gasper, Francis Rillihan, and Grant Williamson, and they'll be glad to show you around. And see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, if you're breeding the race, yeah, there is a young sire getting runners. It stands for a reasonable stud fee. His name is the Daddy, and he stands for $2,500 at Airdrie Stud. From just 41 foals in his first crop, now 3-year-olds, the Daddy is making the most of his opportunities. Here's a sample. My Dr. Waleska has won 7 of his 9 starts. He won stakes in Puerto Rico, then came to the USA and won an allowance company at Arlington. Manchurian High ran 3rd in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special in his career debut, then went on to win at Gulfstream in Tampa. The Old Gen broke his maiden at Delaware, won an allowance race at Oaklawn, placed in Turfway's $100,000 rushaway. Please Daddy won first time out at Delaware. Winning Desire won her first start at Del Mar, ran 2nd in stakes at Fairplex, came back and won at Hollywood Park. She's Got to Run as an allowance winner at Arlington. Princess Duro won her first start at Turfway. Uniquely, never off the board in 7 starts, broke her maiden at Par X. Keystone Daddy won his 2nd start in a maiden special at Monmouth. That's a lot of run for a $2,500 stud fee. And there's special breeding incentives available. The Daddy won 3 of his 4 starts, including the Grade 2 Super Derby. Won an allowance race at Saratoga, won 22-1, broke his maiden and a maiden special at Hollywood Park and 109 flat. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud, and the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right. Well, I'm talking to Marty Takers, who raised Shackle Ford, who won the Preakness Stakes. And if I didn't drag him away from Jackie over there, they'd talk.
We're talking roll time, so, that, you know, funny old days with beer.
But, uh-oh.
Those were good old days.
Those were the good old days?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than it's been for you in the last few days. What are you talking about?
No, it
That's
doesn't.
True.
It really doesn't, Ursula. It has been the thrill of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know as well as I do. You work, you know, you do this for years and years and years, and you keep thinking every year you're going to get lucky and something like that's going to happen, and then it does. So it's...
Well, now, I don't know if it was all luck. You know, there's just about 35,000 foals a year. And one of them's going to win the Derby, and one of them's going to win the Preakness, and it looks like it's going to, you know. Yeah, which I've got to ask you right away. You think you're going to go to the Belmont Stakes, or do you know?
I don't know. I talked to both owners yesterday. One of them even rode down the breeding shed with me yesterday afternoon. And I don't know that they know for sure. I think they're going to go ahead and move the horse up there next week and let him go over the track a little bit and see how it goes from there.
Yeah, well, there's other races up there, too, as far as that goes.
There's a lot of money up there.
Yeah. That's a long way to 1.5 miles now. This is a... I want to tell you
something. It is.
I want to tell you that when he went that first half mile in 46 and something, I think I told Jackie, well, he's cooked.
I know. That was
fast. I bet you a ham sandwich to $100 that you thought the same thing.
I'll tell you what I said. I thought the first quarter was pretty quick because they went 22 and something.
Yes.
And then when I saw the 46 pop up there, I thought, daggone it, they slowed it
down. They slowed it down
big. And I thought that's exactly what he needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of horses can't do that and slow down and then keep going again. They just don't.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, but I was not disappointed when I saw that, to be honest with you. He's just a gutty horse. I mean, he's a tough horse. And to what I gather from Dale Romans, the horse has done nothing but improve since he got back from Florida. And I was one of the owners, Mike Lawford, went down Wednesday. And I called him Wednesday morning. I said, well, how's the horse doing? he said, it's unbelievable. The horse just, his ability to recuperate from a tough race is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just bounces back so quick. So I don't know. I wouldn't put it, I wouldn't say he's going to go in the Belmont, but I sure wouldn't say he's not going in the
Belmont. Yeah. And what else would there be up there? You know, there's
I don't know.
Run,
I don't know.
They run the Withers up there pretty quick, don't they?
Yeah.
There's the Met Mile. Of course, you'd have to hook older horses there.
Yeah.
You only get one shot at the Belmont. That's the problem.
Well, I kind of hope he goes, but I will never second guess Del Romans.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a marvelous job.
I think he's
horse.
Great.
He's done a great job.
That was one
he
thing.
He really knows that horse.
What
I
was
mean,
so good
really,
about that? It was all home folks.
It was. It
the
was
whole
all,
thing was home folks.
All Kentucky.
Yes,
it was all Kentucky.
A good portion, well, outside of Paintsville. But it was.
Now, wait a minute. Dale Romans is from Louisville.
Okay.
Yeah, did you read what he said?
And Bill Cub is the other owner from Catlettsburg. Kentucky.
Well, there you go. Did you hear what Dale Romans said about he went to Butler High School? In Louisville?
Yeah.
Said they spent 4 years trying to kick me out of there, and I went to Preakness. Now they're real friendly.
I bet you made a couple of new friends, too, didn't
well,
you?
Well, I did. The response that I've gotten from, you know, my colleagues in the horse business has been terrific. You know, it's that's where you get, you know, those people know what you go through and really appreciate what happens. And it has been a tremendous response. I mean, it was just fun.
Now, those two owners are boyhood friends of yours, aren't they?
Now, one of them is. Mike Loffer is. Okay. Yeah. He's from Paintsville. He's a little younger than me. He's 5 or 6 years younger than me. But he is married to my oldest friend who we were in the Paintsville hospital in the nursery together.
Okay.
he's married to his sister.
Okay. Yeah.
And his mother-in-law lives next door to my dad. Yeah. So I saw Opal, the mother-in-law, Thursday.
Okay.
So it's a small town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I always knew the Loffer boys growing up. They were younger than me, but I always knew you knew who the Loffer boys were.
Yeah.
There were two of them, yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, there was something I was going to ask you, but you got me off a train of thought there.
I'm sorry.
Now, you were instrumental in picking the mare, the dam of this thing.
Yeah.
What did you all get for? You bought her out where? Keeneland?
Keeneland in January for $135.
Okay.
What
was she in foal to at the time?
She was in foal to Langfure.
Langfure, okay.
Yeah. And she was unbridled mare, she was stakes placed in a little stakes in Florida, something, I can't remember.
Yeah, she won $100,000. She was a decent
she could
mare.
Run.
Yeah.
She could run.
Yeah.
And she was a great big mare. She was not bad in front, but she was not absolutely perfect. But, enough you could live with. And then another friend of mine who I was talking to at the sale, I said, you know, I really like this mare, but I wonder what the foals look like. And it was Michael Miller, and Michael said, well, it just so happens I sold that foal 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was fine.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, she's worth going at then at that price.
Yeah.
But she was pretty mare. And
well, how many years did you have the mare now?
We had her... We got three foals.
Three foals.
Yeah.
And Shackelford was the third?
Correct.
Okay.
And there's two fillies before Shackelford. There was the Langfure filly that she was carrying.
Did you sell those two also?
No, they still own the two fillies.
Oh, okay. So they've got half sisters.
Two half sisters to it.
Yeah. What's the other one by Langfure and...
A Fleet Alex.
And a Fleet
and
Alex.
She's with Dale right now.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
She's showing anything?
I think she can win.
Yeah.
You know.
You think she can win?
you know, that's tough to do.
40% of them don't.
Yeah,
right. But, okay. Well, but you don't sound really high.
I don't think she's not.
Is she a two-year-old?
She's four.
Oh, she's four. Well, you got a pretty good idea then.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you got the mare in foal to...
We bred the mare to AP Indy.
Okay.
And then put her in the November sale.
And she brought?
1.5. Okay. Megan.
That's a pretty good lick.
That was a nice touch.
That'll buy a lot of those apple turnovers. Yeah,
it certainly will. but the mare was just really good to Bill and Mike from the get-go, because we bought her on a Tuesday in January. And then Saturday, her second foal, who was by Royal Academy, Bagdaria.
Oh, yeah.
She won the Silver Bullet Day.
Yeah.
Okay. That's four days, three stakes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, four days later.
Yeah.
So that was...
Well, that was pretty quick.
Yeah, and we were sitting in my...
She doubled her value right there,
she probably did. Well, we were sitting in my kitchen on Sunday, Mike and Bill and myself, and I said, now listen, this may be as good as it ever gets.
Oh.
But you know what I mean. I mean, it could have been the best we ever were, best year. But I mean, it's just then the next year, Lady Joni wins Grade One Alabama, and now Shackleford. So I'll never say it can't get any better. You know?
Well, if he wins the Belmont,
I hope he does for those two guys. Yeah. You know.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Sure. Well, May 21 in Pimlico, the Grade 3 William Donald Schaefer Memorial was won by a part, a four-year-old colt by Flatter. The James W. Murphy Stakes at Pimlico went to Chinglish, a three-year-old colt by Warfront. And the Pike Creek Stakes at Delaware was won by Snowfall, a three-year-old filly by Warfront. 2 days earlier, Belmont's Three Corns Up Stakes went to Hymnbook. She's by Arch. Now, part, bred by Dale Dilschneider, is a multiple graded stakes winner worth $640,000, and his win closely follows the victory of Tar Heel Mom, also by Flatter, in the Nanny Stakes at Belmont. Tar Heel Mom, bred by Ups and Down Farms, is a multiple graded stakes winner over $613,000. Chinglish, bred by John J. Greeley IV and Phil Houchins, and Snowfall, bred by Stoner Side Stable, are among the 9 first crop stakes winners by Warfront, the leading sire first crop stakes winners. Hymnbook was bred by Stuart S. Janney III and is one of 30 stakes winners by Arch, the sire of 4 champions, including 2010 Eclipse World winner Blame. Flatter, Warfront, and Arch all stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names for the Clay Ward Agency. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
On May 20th at Pimlico, the Hilltop Stakes was won by Excited, a three-year-old filly by Giants Causeway, bred by Chelston. Owned by Michael Tabor, trained by Todd Pletcher. Excited is the 100th stakes winner, sired by Giants Causeway, and she's out of a daughter of Thunder Gulch. Ashford Stud sires, top and bottom. Winner of her career debut as a two-year-old at Saratoga, Excited is placed in 2 stakes at Gulfstream this year, including the Grade 3 Here Comes the Bride. She is the 9th 2011 stakes winner by Giants Causeway, and 6 of the 9 are graded stakes winners. That includes the Grade 1 winner, Giant Oak. Giants Causeway is ranked number 1 on the North American sire list for the past 2 years. He ranks number 2 in climbing in 2011. Remember that when you see the Giants Causeway, enter the sales ring at the major auctions. Also keep in mind that 20 of his 100 stakes winners have won Grade 1 stakes. That's 1 out of every 5. Giants Causeway, Stormcat's greatest son, stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. Alrighty, well, I'm talking to a very happy Marty Takus over here. Marty, what did get you? You went to center, I understand.
Right.
Is that how you got out of Paintsville?
Well, that was, yeah, I guess so.
Were your family interested in horses or anything? How'd you get interested in it?
Well, I used to be a farmer. I raised hogs and corn and tobacco, regular farmer. And
where?
In Franklin County.
In Franklin County.
Yeah, we used a guy who was a blacksmith, Scott Kimball. He and I had Elkhorn Hog Farm.
Elkhorn Hog Farm.
It's okay if you're upwind.
We did it for several years, and then I tell you what put me out of farming was when Jimmy Carter put the corn embargo against Russia. And that just, the year before I made $10,000 raising corn. And then the next year, I didn't make a penny. So that kind of the price of corn just dropped because there was no place to sell it.
Yeah.
You used to feed it to hogs, that was it.
Well, you better get into business with ethanol now.
Well, I don't raise corn anymore. Okay. I loved it.
How long that's going to last?
I don't either. I mean, I loved it, and I loved farming. But then I got maintenance supervisor's job at Castleton Farm.
Back when they had trotters. Yeah. Okay.
And Pacers.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
And
Jugheads.
We got a
Brent Hanover's there. Nitros was there. We had
That's
Speedy Scott.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean it was big time.
Oh yeah.
And then I did that for a year, and then a job opening came in the horse side, and I asked John Cashman if he'd give me a chance, and he did, and the rest of it went downhill.
Well, okay. went downhill.
Yes, I got in then, and then Marshall Allman, the farm clinic. I don't know if you ever knew him.
No.
He was, did soil samples and advising on fertilizing, whatever. You know, he really a great guy. Marshall was very dear friend of mine. He said, listen, he said, there's a guy up in New York. He said, if you wouldn't mind going up there, I'd like for you to come up and meet him. And I went up there, and it was Sugar Maple Farm, Howard Cascell.
Okay.
And so I was up there for 3 years. And actually, we had Sir Harry Lewis, who won the Irish Derby while I was there. So, and then I got offered a job to come back to Kentucky and work at Big Sink, manage Big Sink for the Firestones.
Okay. That was after Benjamin left.
The Firestones had purchased it from Mr. Benjamin, I think, in around 1980 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know Benjamin? Did you know E.V. Benjamin?
Yes, I did.
A nice guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was different.
He was a character, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a character.
What have happened to his son, Tony?
Tony still lives in
New Orleans?
New Orleans, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Tony owns Shoe Crew.
Yeah, she could fly.
Well, she could run. She could run.
What's that? That's French for, what is it? Sauerkraut.
Oh, that is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was there, we had 5 champion mares there at one time.
Is that right?
We had Shoe Crew, we had Pamperluge, we had Genuine Risk.
Holy cow.
We had another mare called Plant Safe, who was a 2-year-old champion in France at the Firestones on April Run. That was a pretty nice selection of mares.
Is it?
Yeah, my goodness. I wouldn't have wanted to fold those.
Well, you didn't have much trouble with Shoe Crew because you could hardly get her info.
Well, she was a fast mare. Was she by Lieutenant Stevens? What was she by? I'm trying to.
I think you're right. She sure looked like a Lieutenant Stevens mare if she wasn't one. But that was kind of fun to have mares of that quality there. You know, it's.
How long did you stay there?
Until they sold it to the Japanese.
Okay.
And then I stayed with the Japanese until I went out on my own, which was 1996.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go then?
1996? Yeah, 1996, yeah.
Yeah.
I leased a farm from Alvin Haynes right behind Keeneland.
Okay.
And I started there.
Not on Rice Road, where? You forgot the name of the road.
I forgot the name of the road. It was the old Harvey Haynes farm back there.
Close to Dee Dee McGehee's place?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Alvin bought it from the Haineses.
Is he still on that back there?
No, sold it.
Yeah. How long have you been in Burden County? You know.
Well, I had my own farm. My wife and I owned a farm on Russell Cave, just at Lauderdale, for 7 years.
Okay.
And then we ended up selling that, and then when these guys, after these guys got in the business, they ended up buying R.D. Hubbard's farm, Crystal Springs, and then I moved over there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great location.
It is. It's a good farm.
Yeah.
And actually,
obviously can raise a good horse there.
Yeah, and across the road doesn't do bad either.
Oh, I know.
They raised
the Derby winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horse that ran behind Shackelford in the
Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, that's his name.
Oh, look at this. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's his name.
Okay. No, he's a really, that's a nice horse, Animal Kingdom is. I was very impressed with him Saturday before the Derby. We went down there and watched Shackelford. He was just bouncing over the surface.
He came out of the Derby off a good too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's
a nice horse and got a great trainer.
Yeah,
I know that family pretty well because
emotions.
Uh huh.
I don't know them at all, but I wish I did.
They're neat people. When I first went to New York, we didn't have the farm finished. Mm-hmm. So we boarded mares with Joe and Michael Motion.
Okay.
They had a little farm up in Millbrook. And I got to know them pretty well. And then a very good friend of my wife and mine from Danville married one of the Motion girls. So that was the other really great thing Saturday. It was like I got to renew a lot of old friendships, which was a lot of fun, you know, to see people.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the, I know we were standing back in the barn after everything had quieted down, and Michael Motion came up to me and congratulated me again. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, well, he's a class guy.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Michael and Graham both were there, yeah. So
he was featured in that new Trainers magazine.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I did read that article and took it home to my sister. I mean, not my sister, my wife, to read because we had... We'd had dinner with Graham once or twice when he was here in Lexington, and our friend was here, so he was going with his brother-in-law, and we all met and had dinner one night. He's a lovely man.
Well, what have you all got coming up? You know, how many of your owners now? How many horses they got in training?
Well, I think Mike Lauffer has probably five or six.
All of them with,
well, some of them are. I know he's got a Dynaformer filly with Albertroni.
Do you raise them all?
No. Mm-hmm. He bought the Dynaformer at Saratoga.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they buy some yearlings too.
Yeah, he buys some yearlings, and
they board their mares with you though.
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh. Yeah. How big? How many mares they got?
Just four or five.
Four or five.
Yeah, I know it's small operation, but.
They sold that mare for $1.5 million. You think, well, I wanted to shake them loose for a little bit there.
Well, Mike also is the guy that ended up buying into Rachel Alexander.
Yeah. God, he's got, okay.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's smart. He's, when he got into this business.
He's lucky.
But he prepares himself. But and then you add luck on top of that, or so it's hard to beat.
It's a tough combination.
Yeah, it's hard.
Smart and lucky.
But you know, you say lucky. Look what these guys do for a living. They drill holes in the ground looking for natural gas.
Yeah.
And they're successful.
Now so, that is wonderful.
Yeah. So I mean, they have to. You have to have
some kind of brains to do that.
Yeah, and luck too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, it's a great combination and. They're good guys. They're really
good. Where do they drill? Where are they?
Eastern Kentucky and West Virginia.
Yeah. There's all kind of gas
under
those mountains.
Yeah.
I used to know somebody, those old fellers that lived on the one side of Pine Mountain, they'd take a something, stick it down in the ground, drop a pole down in there, and use the gas. They popped that stuff right up there and heat with it and cook with it. It was really a lot of gas. That's wonderful. Good for them.
No, they've They both have worked very hard, and they've been successful in their own business. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, they've been successful in this business.
Yeah,
too.
Well, yeah. That's the only thing better than winning the Preakness would be winning the Derby.
Yeah. And
he ran a hell of a race that day too.
He did run a very good race that day. He did mm-hmm. very good race. It just looked like it was a little long for him that day, you know.
But yeah.
Who knows? And if you sit there watching it all day long, everything was coming off of the pace, and they were coming about four or five lanes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was down there on the rail. So I don't know if it made any difference or not. Animal Kingdom was pretty good that day.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. He was an impressive horse the week before, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, he ran a heck of a race. He gave notice in the Florida Derby that it was awful good.
He sure did. It looked 68-1.
I know. Did you bet him to place?
No, I didn't.
It looked like to me when I watched that race that that horse had ran by him, but then he came back when he galloped out and galloped out ahead of him.
You're absolutely right. He did. He galloped out ahead of him.
Yeah. I thought I'd seen that, but, you know, nobody ever brought it up.
No. Shackelford hadn't gotten a real lot of respect. You know, I mean, he paid $27 in the Preakness. Of course, there were a lot of long shots other than the only one that wasn't was Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he's a good, solid racehorse. Gosh, if we all just had one like him, you know.
Well.
Wouldn't it be fun, you know?
I got to take one more break here and see what we're doing. Okay. Mizzen Mast received his best book of mares to date. That was back in 2008. 150 quality mares, to be exact. So he's represented by a great crop of two-year-olds this year. Now think about this. Mizzen Mast is a proven sire of grade one stakes winners. He sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop. What's more, 9 of those 24 juvenile winners won a place in stakes at 2. Now, year after year, Mizzen Mast has sent top-class stakes horses to the races. 13 last year, 8 of them stakes winners. They win sprinting, they win going long, they win on dirt, they win on artificial, and they win on grass. That's why the 4 Mizzen Mast yearlings sold at the recent OBS sale. I guess they'd have been 2-year-olds, wouldn't they? At the recent OBS sale, averaged $127,250. Now, Mizzen Mast is a proven sire of grade one stakes winners, and he stands at Judmont Farm for 12,500 live foal. Also at Judmont is the young grade one stakes winner First Defense, Bond Bridal Song. First Defense sprinted 7 furlongs in 120-4, in 121-1, 121-2, 6 furlongs in 9-2, so he had brilliant speed to go with a classic pedigree. His first foals are yearlings. He stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good friend Tom Biedemann, Biedemann Real Estate and Auctioneers. And Marty, he's got a couple of places close to us for sale, hasn't he?
He does. There's a few out there.
Yeah, over on Greenwich, there's a
pretty place.
Yeah, there's several good pretty places over there. Tom's always got great listings, and he gets great listings because he gets the job done selling them. I know he was selling farms around here where nobody else was, and still is. And let me give you his website. It's BiedemannBrokerage.com. I better spell his name for you. BiedemannBrokerage.com. Phone number is 277-2030. Got some great people working for him. A couple of them are friends of mine, like, let's see, of course, what was the kid? Mike Morrison used to train out here. Mike's a good guy.
Yeah,
he trains out of Keeneland now a little bit, I think. And he has been with Tom for I don't know how long. And I want to say he's got a good place over on Russell Cave Road for sale. And
that one down from us would be Elizabeth Station. Yeah. And it's got paved roads.
Yeah.
Oh, I envy paved roads.
We got a gravel road going
it's
into our place.
A turnkey.
You know what it looks like after all these rains?
Time for gravel.
How about you? Yeah.
Exactly. Keep them in business.
A lot of ruts is what it looks like, anyway. And he's got places all over. Best thing to do is go to his website. Jackie's over all the time drooling over what he's got listed.
Yeah, a lot of nice stuff.
He's a great guy. He's a horseman, too, and he's a great guy to do business with. That's Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Well, McCauley Brothers is the only feed mill in Kentucky devoting 100% of their time and efforts and research developing products for exclusively for the horse. So congratulations to the breeder Patio Prado, Winchell Thoroughbreds, for Patio Prado's win in the Grade 2 Dixie Stakes on Preakness Day, to Darby Dan Farm, where Fastest Magician, winner of the A-Gift Stakes at Belmont Park last Sunday, was raised for breeders Charles Fipke. And McCauley Brothers also proud to count Winchell Thoroughbreds and Darby Dan among its clients and wishes them continued success. McCauley Brothers would also like to add you to their list of successful associates. Just give Steve Baker or Mike Warren a call at 873-3333, and they'd be more than happy to talk to you about their special needs. Their office is at 111 Broadway in Versailles, and you're always welcome. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
Who named Shackelford? Or do you know?
Well, I'm not exactly sure which one of the guys did.
Oh, okay.
It's a great name. It is a great name.
Yeah.
It is a great name.
Very distinctive.
And I mean, I thought it was named after an explorer of the Arctic or the Antarctic. I can't remember which one.
Really? I thought it was an Eastern Kentucky name. No people named Shackelford.
Well, I don't know. I thought that's, but come to find out, the explorer's name wasn't Shackelford. it was Shackleton.
Oh, okay.
And of course, there was already Sir Shackleton.
Isn't there some kind of a resort or an island off of one of the Carolinas?
Yeah,
there is named Shackleford
in North Carolina that has wild horses on it.
Yeah. Okay.
And there has been mentioned that that was part of it, too. So.
Well, it's a great name.
It is a great name.
Well, instead of Tilly's third purse or some stupid.
No, yeah, they could have named it Painsville.
That's a great name for horse.
I remember we were talking one time, and Mike said, I haven't kept any colts because he only just raced fillies. He said, this is the first colt. And I said, and it probably ought to be the last.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm not sure. If they want to keep colts, keep them. But Paintsville would be a good name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Yeah. Well, I guess he'll go to stud somewhere sooner or later. Around here. It won't be Paintsville. No, it won't be Paintsville. Bet on that.
It'd be a long ride up there. I would hope so,
I bet they've had offers already.
I think there's been a little interest so far. I don't know that there's been any definite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't turn loose of him now anyway.
I think he's part of their family now. So was Rachel Alexander. And there was a prize for her too, wasn't
there? Yeah, exactly was, yeah.
I think that they'll do what's best for the horse. I really hope they get to race him as a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And I think they both would like to do that, too. So
the way the economy is now and the way, the competition for stallions and so forth, it's almost pays you to race him now if they've got that kind of talent.
Yeah, and, he's sound, and he really loves racing. Mm-hmm. You could tell by the horse out there on the track. He loves it.
Yeah, he wanted to go, didn't he?
Yeah, and... if he's sound and he loves it, I hope they continue with him as a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they did,
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Keep you in the news, see?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. I won't deny that. It puts a smile on your face. And, you see, the Sunday morning before we were leaving, I had the TV on, and it was one of the news programs, and they had it on there, and I just... shook my head, He really did do it, It was great fun.
What was he like at a foal? What kind of, how was he, manners and so forth?
He was, you remember the bad ones? Those are the ones.
Yeah.
But he was just a good foal. You know, he's never a problem.
Never a problem.
Never a problem. Now, I say that, but when we were prepping him to sell, because we did take him through Keeneland, he was he would kind of be a little stubborn about wanting to walk good, the way you know, when we start walking horses.
Yeah, right. You want him to walk out and stride out.
Yeah,
you know.
And I mean, he had the physique for it, but he's a very smart horse, but you have to show him what you want, and then he has to really understand, why am I doing this? You know?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But once he does it, hey.
Okay.
It goes right on.
Once he's got it.
Yeah, once he's got it and understands why I'm doing this and, you know, that this is going to be for so long and that's it. And apparently he went through the same thing at the gate at Webb Carroll's.
Is that right?
Yeah, and Webb.
In South Carolina, that's where Webb is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's where he broke.
Yeah, correct. And then Webb said one day he just walked right through and that was it, never a problem again.
Yeah.
So he's just that kind of horse. There's just a little.
Once he figures it out.
Once he figures it out and he understands why you want him to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe.
Been around those kind.
Yeah, they're, you know. Yeah,
they're the best kind.
Yeah, they are. They're smart. Smart horses are fun to be around, aren't they?
Oh, that's great. All right, well, I'm going to let you go.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Are you going out to the Paris Pike on your way home?
Yeah, I got to go back to work.
the state, I thought they got roadblocks set up.
I thought they were going to stop me there, and they just waved. I said, Erskine Ellis, and they just waved me right on through.
They probably said, one of them didn't say where. All right, Marty, thank you very much. It's fun talking to you, and congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it was especially nice that it was raised in Bourbon County.
It's always good for a home team.
All right, All righty. Where are we here? Well, let me do some spots here, and I'm going to take a look at some old winners of the Arlington Classic. All right. Well, Mouston Farr won graded stakes at Keeneland and at Belmont Park. He also placed in two graded stakes at Saratoga and graded stakes at Tampa Bay and Gulfstream Park. He was beaten less than a length in grade one stakes at Gulfstream. At Arlington Park, he won graded stakes, placed in graded stakes there. Woodbine, Keeneland, another one there at Keeneland. Broke his maiden as a two-year-old at Aqueduct. Won a pair of top allowance races at Gulfstream. In short, he competed with distinction in major races wherever he was asked to run and always gave his best. Can't ask any more than that from a horse. He earned over $625,000. So he was a superior runner, and he's got a great pedigree. He's by champion Siren Bridle from a family of classic winners and champions such as Nashwan, Nayef, Unfawan, Height of Fashion, dozens more. Best of all, he stands for most reasonable stud fee, $3,000 live foal. Mouston Farr meets all the requirements to become a successful sire, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and take a look at the website at shadwellfarm.com. All righty, well, Ron Wallace is the head of Equine Farm Management, and what he does, he helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms, and he can do that by making sure that things run smoothly, that they've got quality help, that the equipment they use is the right kind of equipment. Just anything you can do, farm construction, maintenance, day-to-day farm management, farm design. He's been in business now. Oh, gee, when did he go in business? It was back in 1995 that he formed this company, and prior to that, he's got a lot of experience in farm management. He didn't know over Three Chimneys and Judmont Farm, so this is a guy who knows what he's doing. He's a college graduate. In fact, I think he's got a doctorate degree. I know he's got a master's, but I think he's probably got a doctorate degree. And he's done some work, some of the farms around here that he's done, not only around here, but Live Oak Stud, a very prominent farm down in Ocala. He's helped those people down there. Paladese Investments, they just bred a stakes one over the weekend up at he helped them up in Elmont, New York. Around here, a gorgeous place down here at Hurricane Hills on Paris Pike, Paris Lexington Road. Oh, did the farm layout and design and construction for them. He knows the best builders around here, and he looks after that too. Normandy Farm, Summer Wind Farm, over on Route 62, right across from old friends. So he's absolutely done top-class work for top-class people. And here's website. Is farm management, equine farm management, and .com. And just get in touch with Ron, nice guy, and he'll be glad to sit down with you and help you with all that, with your farm, and where you have time to sit back and enjoy things. Well, Hold Me Back is a multiple graded stakes winner by champion Sire Giants Causeway, who was recently represented by his 100th stakes winner. And Hold Me Back's Dam is the daughter of Unbridled Song. He's sired 89 stakes winners and annually ranks among the nation's leading sires. He's right there again this year. What's more, Hold Me Back's second dam is a champion three-year-old and was a champion sprinter. Her name was Avowal. She earned nearly $500,000 competing in both the USA and Canada. Hold Me Back won his first two starts as a two-year-old, the first at Darlington, the second at Keeneland. He won the grade two $500,000 Lanes End Stakes, ran second in both the grade one Travers and the grade one Bluegrass as a three-year-old, came back at four to take graded stakes at Woodbine. Another young stallion standing at Windstar to watch is Spring at Last, a grade one stakes winner of over $1,139,000. He had brilliant speed, and he was internationally successful in graded stakes. And his first foals, now yearlings, they're knocking. And keeping this in mind, Spring at Last was bred with some 200 mares in his first two seasons at Stud. And he stands in front where, he stands in front where every stallion is the top on one side of the number. Spring at First Foals was Spring at Last and yearlings. You're going to see them, but when they enter the sales ring, because they're good-looking horses, you're going to notice them. Stands at Windstar Farm, of course. You know, the guy you need to get in touch with over there is Robert Hammond at 873-1717. Ask about breeding incentives when you talk to Robert. And see the website, windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says a bow clear can do.
Alrighty. Well, I wanted to say something about the Arlington Classic because it used to be one of the most prominent races. Now, of course, they run it today up at Arlington. It's a $100,000 stakes race still. But when it was first run back in 1929 and down through the years, it was, well, there have been some great horses. Won it, Blue Larkspur won it in 29. Running third that day was Clyde Van Dusen, who was the Kentucky Derby winner. Blue Larkspur had run fourth in the Derby. Gallant Fox, Triple Crown winner Gallant Fox, won the Arlington Classic in 1930. Mate won it the next year. He beat Spanish Play in 20 grand. 20 grand was the Derby winner. Mate had won the Preakness Stakes. In fact, that year, they did it several years, but I know they did it in 1931. The Preakness was run before the Derby. But anyway, down 1934, Cavalcade, the Kentucky Derby winner, won it. He beat another great horse in Discovery. And that's the Omaha Triple Crown winner and won it in 1935. He was by Gallant Fox. And the next year, Granville won it. He, too, was by Gallant Fox. 1938, winner was Nedyar, which he was not too much there, but he beat Bull Lee. 1939 winner of the Arlington Classic was Chaladon, who was by Chaladon, Challenger the Second. Okay, I'll get it out in a minute. Running third was the Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes winner, Johnstown. 1940 winner was Sirocco. Georgia Wolf rode him. He beat the Derby winner, Galahadian. And Bimelech, who was supposed to be the top three-year-old that year, ran third. And Sirocco was by Sweep All out of Miss Toro, but Toro, I remember him real well. He won the Walden Stakes as a two-year-old, and his stablemate, Famar, ran second in that race. He ran two, won two in the Walden Stakes, and Famar bowed a tendon. And they brought him back to the farm and put him back together. And then my dad, who was managing the farm at that time, gave him, he used to fox hunt. and he gave him to a fellow named George Gill, who was from Shelbyville. And George fox hunted this horse. And Dad saw him at a fox hunt, you know, that old tenant had set, and the horse was a four-year-old at that time. He tried to buy him back, and George wouldn't sell him. He wanted to put him back in training, but he was a grand kind of a horse there anyway. Sleepall, incidentally. Sirocco and Femar. Attention won it in 1941. He was by equipoise, and Attention beat Arcaro. I mean, under Arcaro beat beat Whirlaway that day. And then Shutout won it the next year. And he, too, was by equipoise. Equipoise, of course, was an all-time great. He was a foal in 1928. You know, he just... He only stood four seasons at stud before he died. He's buried right over here on what is now Gainesway Farm. And Equipoise was by Pennant, who was by Peter Pando, by Peter Pan, who was by Commando, by Domino. Of course, everybody knows that. And in the days of small crops and with just four seasons, he sired nine stakes winners. But, boy, they were great stakes winners. He sired two winners, as I said, of the Arlington Classic and Attention. And Shutout, of course, Shutout also won the Derby and the Belmont and the Travers and the Bluegrass Stakes. He also, Equipoise also sired Equifox, who won 22 races, including the Arlington Handicap and the Washington Park Handicap and the Equipoise Mile, all three run up in Chicago. Bowling Broke, who won the Jockey Club Gold Cup going 2 miles. He's what we used to call a cup horse. And horses, you know, he didn't get going until he ran a mile and a half. The Saratoga Cup, he won that. And see, he won the Manhattan twice. Equipoise side Swingin' Sway, won the Whitney. And the Empire City Handicap. And he's the sire of Saggy, Swingin' Sway was, who sired Carryback, of course. And Swingin' Sway was at stud on the property right here. It's now the training center, which now you stood over in Barn 28 over there. Level Best. Won the Coaching Club American Oaks, a lot of poise, won the Modesty. And, of course, he was also the sire of Equestrian, who won only a couple of nondescript kind of races, but was the sire of Stymie. So, and also, he was, Equipoise was the broodmare sire of Assault and Myrtle Charm. It was by Algercer, Level E, she won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Recite, won the Regret. Recite was by, I'm thinking... Citation.
Oh, okay.
So there have been some great horses winning that doggone race down through the years. All righty, let me take a little break. We'll see who else won it after that. Just a little Twilight Tweer, Twilight. There's been some really top. Candy Spox won it. Tom Roth, Buck Passer, Dr. Fager, Ack.
Oh, he was a favorite of mine.
Ack was a favorite of yours? That's because we had a yearling once that you loved by Ack.
He was beautiful.
Yeah.
Wound up on the experimental.
Well, grade one stakes winner Lion of David is standing his first season at stud this year for $7,500. And a foal stands and nurses. Now, Lion of David is by Lionheart. Lionheart's done remarkably well at stud. He's the sire of 36 stakes horses, 19 stakes winners in his first three crops of racing age. He was the sire of 7 2010 stakes winners, including two grade one winners in the Line of David and Dangerous Midge. Dangerous Midge won the grade one Breeders' Cup Turf. Line of David's grade one win came in the Arkansas Derby. He led from wire to wire that day, defeating a field which included such grade one stakes winners as Super Saver, Dublin, Noble's Promise. The Arkansas Derby was his third consecutive front-running win. Now, Line of David's Dam is the daughter of the outstanding sire Capote, the sire of 63 stakes winners and the son of Seattle Slough. She's out of a daughter of Razor Native from the family of the great Mr. Prospector. Now, a grand individual, your inspection's invited. Line of David's at Spencer Farm. So give Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffey a call over there, 294-0030. Ask about the special breeding incentives available and check the website, Spencer Farm. .com. Well, Jim Fitzgerald is a neighbor of ours, owns Not Griffin Farm. He also owns Harper's Island And Jim came up, he's Irish, of course, came up under Michael Osmond, John Williams when he was over at Spencer, Lee Eaton, fine horseman. So was Jim. And great location for Knott Griffin Farm. They're right there on 460, just a mile from the Paris Bypass in Bourbon County. And he does boarding, sales prep, sales, public, private, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, he can do it all there. He's got the great help, quality farm help. He wouldn't tolerate anything but. And if you're thinking about getting into the business or you're in the business and you're not too happy, well, just give Jim a call, and he can give you some good, sound, common-sense advice. And he's somebody you can trust. So that's Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm. Let me spell that for you. Knockgriffin Farm.com. Give his phone number at 987-8032.
Sally Vance Horse. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. Well, I've got Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And, Steve, how often do you get to handicap a race going a mile and a half?
I'd say a couple, two, three times a year, maybe.
Well, yeah.
Starter allowance every now and again, a mile and a half.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about a stakes race. This is a...
Yeah, well, I'd say about twice a year.
Okay. That's what I figured. Don't run many of them around here. They're running one at Keeneland, though, don't they? Isn't there one?
Yeah, they have the, you know, on the grass.
Well, that's all right. This one's on the grass, too.
Yeah, and I think they have a dirt stake at going that far or not.
I don't know. Well, who do you like in this one?
Well, we've got a pretty good group in here today. Field of 11 for the, a field of 10 for the Louisville Handicap. It's a grade 3. And I think certainly the favorite in here is the bottom horse, Musketeer, who old-timer that looks like he's awfully good right now. He comes off a win in the Elkhorn at Keeneland the last time out. I think that was closing day at Keeneland. I can't remember, but I think that's right. And
29th April, that was closing day.
He's come back off of that race and worked well, and it looks like he's ready to go today. I think he's obviously showing a liking for the distance, and the only question is how he'll handle the course at Churchill Downs, but back to the way he ran last time in the Elkhorn, he's going to be tough to beat. The two horse Simmered doesn't have too many wins the last couple of years, but he was just 2.5 lengths behind Musketeer last time out, and he'll try to narrow the gap a little bit today, and he's one that you have to consider. You got a filly in here, or that's going to run against the boys, Kirtana, the mare actually, and she's been awfully good for trainer Tom Proctor, and is a stakes winner. And I think even though she's tackling the boys today, she definitely has a big chance in here. She's a 2-1. The second choice on the morning line. So I think when you get into this kind of a sort of a specialty kind of race,
did we lose him?
I think so.
Oh, well, I think we lost him. Steve, I'm sorry about that, old buddy. I want to know who's going to win that race. But something happened. I don't know exactly what it was, but there we go. It's the phone system, I guess. Well, let's see. Wrapping it up here pretty quick. The last, winners out. We had 8 winners out here in the last 7 days since last week's show. Brenda Hill, Jesse Caudill, Chuck Hamilton, Adolfo Marcia Saddle 2, Akiko Gothard, Maria Pinzon, and Wayne Mogi all had winners. And that's, 39 winners so far this month in the first 27 days from the Thoroughbred Center. You want to go ahead, Jackie?
Yeah, please. The Thoroughbred Breeding Clinic is Friday through Sunday, June 3rd through the 5th in Lexington. Topics include pedigree theories, confirmation, equine nutrition, foaling, etc. That's brought to you by TOBA. That is numbers 276-2291. Check toba.org. Don't forget my friend Peggy Manis out in Midway. She's a great photographer. Her number is 846-9343. And Sean Dameron, Dameron Tech and DameronCams.com. He's putting in cameras besides fixing your computer. He's putting in cameras in your barns, fields, paddocks, houses, businesses, and you can pick up what the cameras pick up on your smartphone or on your computer, whatever. You can tell what's going on when you're not there. So his phone number is 230-6449.
You can keep track of your wife. Watch your wife, too,
yeah,
while you're
there you go. Or your husband. Or your scarfy little kids. Colostrum Bank, they're low. Cairo is the horse of the week, Kentucky Equine Humane Center. It's a Appy Cross White 3-year-old gelding, 14-2. And it is white, too. This show will be put up on UrsoEllis.com today about 2 o'clock. If you are interested, you can go to WLXG.com and download the app. You can get this show on your iPhone or your computer, and it's okay. Live streamed around the world. So if you're in China or Korea or somewhere scary like that, you can listen to this show. Woo-hoo.
I got, we gave Steve Moody a call, and he gave us his selections for the Louisville. Thank you, Steve, the Louisville handicap today, 10, 4, and 9. The 10 horse is Musketeer, who's a German bred. And let's see, Kirtana, who is a daughter of Johar. She's a mare. She's a mare. She's 5-year-old. She's trying to board today. And running third, he picked a Bear Path, the 9 horse. So it's 10-4-9 from Steve Moody in the Louisville handicap today. And of course, Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can find that wherever they sell a daily racing form.
And I have to give you the traffic report. The state police are out on the Paris Pike stopping people if you're interested. Oh, yeah, you can go to WLXG.com and download an app. Am I correct? And you can get the show live on your phone, your computer, or live streamed. How's that, Ursula? Did I do that good?
I don't know what you're talking about, but that sounds good to me. Want to thank everybody. Mary Jane, thank you very much. Good job. She's down in the studio, and right here in the clocker stand is our good friend, Ressie Duke. And Ressie, thank you. And we'll talk to you next week.